Good morning to everyone. Christian greetings. Greetings in the name of Jesus. God bless you all for being here and worshiping this morning. Such a beautiful morning. Sunday morning. Lovely Sunday morning. And couldn't help but hear what some of the neighbors were doing this morning. Seeing what some of the neighbors were doing. And but as we'll see today in the message, there is blessings that they are missing by not being here. You can open your Bibles with me this morning to Matthew 5. Matthew 5, the beginning of Jesus, teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. And we'll read these verses here in a few minutes, the first 12 verses. This week, one day, as I was going to work, noticed that a vehicle was on my bumper. Getting a little bit anxious about passing. And as soon as there was a sufficient safe spot to pass, while the vehicle came around me, that was okay. But I paid extra attention to it as it went past. And on the back there was a bumper sticker, and it said this. I'll write it on the What goes through your mind when you see that? I don't know if I saw it all. I think there was some little words in between those two words that I didn't see, but I don't know. But I got to thinking about that, and pondering that, and the Lord laid this message on my heart to preach about happiness. Imagine happiness. It would have been interesting to meet that person in the driving the vehicle and get to know them a little bit. Imagine happiness. I think everyone's looking for happiness. Isn't that the American idea? Part of the American idea is the pursuit of happiness. It's a more than American idea, it's just a human idea. It's the way God made us. That we want to be happy. And I suppose if you're imagining happiness, you must not be happy. If you have to imagine happiness. We can do more than imagine happiness, brothers, sisters, friends. We can experience happiness. And we want to look into God's Word and see what God's Word has to say about how to experience happiness, how to be happy. Let's read now in Matthew 5, verse 1 to 12. And before we read, a number of these verses begin with blessed or blessed, and that word, you could put the word happy in that where blessed is, and it would mean very much the same idea. Matthew 5, verse 1, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. I want to think about experiencing happiness and seven thoughts from God's Word that will bring us to experience happiness, true happiness. And we'll look at these. The first one is forgiveness. Then we have trust in God and His Word. Then worship. Then walking in obedience. Then walking in sincerity. Then submitting to our place in life. And last of all is submitting to God's correction. I suppose that to turn to an Old Testament passage that would somewhat sum it up like Matthew 5 does, as Jesus lists those things, happy are they. You can turn with me to Psalm 146, and we'll read just a few verses there before we start to look at these seven thoughts. Psalm 146. I'm sorry, Psalm 144. Psalm 144. Let's start reading at verse 9, Psalm 144. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God, upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones, polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Now, if you think about these two passages in the Old Testament, it was more focused on the natural, on the physical. But in the New Testament, our happiness is not found in physical things, but it's found in the spiritual things. And so you'll see that as we look at these points. You know, we can think about many things, many tangible things that people want because they think that it will bring them happiness. You know, there's people that are they just love that new car smell. And you know, they buy one and then soon it's not new anymore, so they buy another one. And they're looking for that same thrill, that same happiness. Some people think, well, if I just had some friends, then I'd be happy. And we could spend a lot of time listing things. If I just was my own boss, and I didn't have to work for someone, then I could be happy. That would be, just imagine that happiness. Or just imagine if we had a family, if we had children, then we could be happy. That's not the situation for everyone, but some experience that. If we just had a new house, a new kitchen. If I just had some money that I could go shopping. Of course, people do it anyway, don't they? They borrow it. And so they chase happiness. It's a pursuit. They're chasing happiness. And I thought so ironic the one day that I got a credit card offer in the mail from Chase, the Chase Bank, and the credit card's name was Freedom. So it was the Freedom program or the Freedom credit card. So it was ironic, an ironic name for a credit card, Chase Freedom. Of course, we know that many people chase pleasure. They imagine happiness in immorality. They imagine happiness in substance abuse, alcohol and drugs, and tobacco. And they just want that high again. They're just looking for that. That's where they're happy. But the physical things do not last. And so you imagine it again, and they go back again for more. Imagine that happiness. What would you put in the blank? I already gave you some things that the Bible says brings happiness, but if you were just to write down, if I would put a blank on a paper for you with two words in front of it, I'd put there, happiness is, and then you fill in the blank. What would you put in there? What is it for you? Is it something physical? Is it some position of power? You know, some people think, well, if I was just a congressman, or if I was the president, or the judge, if I was the sheriff, I'd be happy. Well, let's look at what the Bible says. First of all, you can turn to Psalm 32. And Brother Steve Heindel didn't realize when he read Romans 4 this morning how there's some verses there that are found in Psalm 32. We're going to think about we can experience happiness when we are forgiven because of forgiveness. Psalm 32, verse 1 says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." So, really, that's the most important this morning is having forgiveness. Now, we could think a lot about this. Well, why do we need forgiven? Well, it's because we are sinners, and we've sinned against God. We need God's forgiveness, and God has provided that forgiveness through His Son, Jesus Christ. But happy is the person who has found that forgiveness through Jesus Christ, forgiveness of sin. And in the New Testament, it goes beyond the covering of the sin. Here it says in Psalm 32, it says, "whose sin is covered." And that's what happened in the Old Testament. As they offered the animal sacrifices and they lived according to the law, their sins were covered. But every year they had to offer again. Now our sins can be washed away in the blood of Jesus. And God says that they're removed as far as the east is from the west. So when your sins are forgiven because you've called out to God in forgiveness, you've called out to God for mercy, you've called out to God for His forgiveness, you've called out to God by faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, then you can find true happiness. You can experience true happiness. In verse 2 of Psalm 32, it says, "Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." Brother Steve spoke about that this morning in his devotions, that there was no iniquity counted to Abraham, but righteousness, because by faith he believed what God said. And that's really what we do when we accept Jesus Christ. We, by faith, believe that Jesus can provide forgiveness for our sins. He can provide our salvation. So when we have forgiveness, when we have salvation, then we have the hope of eternal life. That is happiness. Now, we're not quite there yet. Now, if you want to imagine something, you imagine eternal life. You think about that. Think upon eternal life and what that is and what that will be. But God has given us the Holy Spirit now as a down payment of that eternal life, and so we can experience the happiness. It's nothing physical. This is spiritual. The second one is trust in God and faith in His Word. And we've talked about this a little bit already. But we'll just look at a number of scriptures here. Let's turn to Psalm 34. Psalm 34 and verse 8. It says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." Or we could say happy. Happy is the man that trusts in God. Psalm 40, verse 4. "Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. It's trusting in the Lord. You can turn now to Psalm 1. I'm going to read this whole psalm. Thinking a little bit more about the Word. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That law is God's word. It's another name for the word of God. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Must be a happy tree, planted by the rivers of water, where there's always moisture, there's always nutrients, and the tree can function like God created it to function. When the drought comes along, it doesn't wither. The leaves don't wither, and there's fruit every year. Must be a happy tree. That's how it will be for us if we trust in God and His Word. We can be like that tree. Psalm 8, verse 34 says, "Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors." How do we hear God? Isn't it right here? We hear God through, He speaks to us through His Word. He speaks to us in other ways too, but primarily through His Word. And so this is a daily thing. To hear God, we need to read the Word, watching daily at my gates. Psalm or Proverbs 16:20 says, "Whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he." And in that trusting, sometimes we just simply have to wait on God for some of these things that we see. And Brother Steve read that passage in Malachi 3. Where the people were calling the wicked happy because they were prospering. We call the proud happy, was I think the words. Isaiah 30 verse 18 says, "And therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him." So in your trust, in your faith in God and in his word, you just wait and you trust in him. Because God loves to make people happy. He loves to bless people. And he will bless you as you wait on him. He knows exactly when to bring those things to us. And you'll be happy as you wait on him. Now let's think about the third one here about worship. Just a number of scriptures that I will look at. Psalm 65. Psalm 65 and verse 4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. There's blessing in worshiping God. He talks here about the goodness of thy house, of thy holy temple. Psalm 84, verse 4 says, blessed are they that dwell in thy house, they shall be still praising thee, Selah. And Psalm 89, 15, blessed are the people that know the joyful sound. In the Old Testament, there was, and especially in the time when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, there were trumpets, silver trumpets, that were used to give direction. When the Israelites were going to move on to another location, the trumpets were blown, and they knew what those trumpets meant. But there were also trumpets were blown at special times. At the beginning of the month, they have a special worship time, and the trumpets were blown. But those times for worship must have been a joyful sound. Of course, then they had the Feast of the Trumpets. And that was, it was a time of blowing of trumpets. I wish I knew a little bit more about that, because I think that we are, we're listening for the trumpet too. As the Church of Jesus Christ, we are listening for that joyful sound of the trumpet. But let's be constant in our worship. See, when we worship God, we recognize Him for who He is. And we also, we see ourselves. We start to see ourselves as we see God. We see how small we are and how worthy of worship He is. Now, this verse in Psalm 65, verse 4, talks about, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and calls us to approach unto thee. And it sounds like God picks some out, and then others He keeps away from worshiping. Remember, in the Old Testament, there were certain people that were not allowed to come into the tabernacle to worship. They had to be kept out. The heathen weren't allowed to come in, but a person could become part of the Israelites, and he could be accepted. But God chooses all of us in Jesus Christ. He accepts us all. And so as we come to God to worship, remember Jesus said that I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. We have to come through Jesus. So we experience happiness when we worship the Lord. And that's not just here on Sunday morning. You know, there's other times of worship that we have. Sometimes it seems that for me that my happiness, that my worship comes out of that. But I think I need to rethink that. I think it should be the other way around, that my happiness would be a fruit of my worship. Well, let's look at the next one. Walking in obedience. We already looked at Psalm 1, but blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. See, when we have our sins forgiven, and we trust in the Lord and His Word, and we're worshiping, there is some fruit that God's looking for. Nothing that we can do. Like Brother Steve said this morning in his devotions, Brother Steve Heindel, that there's nothing that we can do that will earn merit with God. But God is looking for fruit. He's looking for obedience, just like with Abraham. He was looking for Abraham to go to that country that God would show him. And Abraham did that, and he was blessed. Psalm 106, verse 3. Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. That's obedience. Jesus said, I do always those things which please the Father. Psalm 112, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. That makes obedience easy. When we delight in God's commandments. There's many, many promises that talk about this point of being blessed when we obey. Another one in Proverbs verse 32 says, Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Psalm 119, verse 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, that seek him with the whole heart. And that brings us to that point about walking in sincerity. We walk in obedience, and we can do the right things. But if we're not doing it from a sincere heart, we're not going to be truly happy if we're not sincere. Blessed are they that seek him with the whole heart. Now, this thing of sincerity. Sometimes when I look at the Old Testament accounts and see how God blessed them when they obey, you know, God told the children of Israel, you know, I'm going to fight your battles for you. There's not going to be any famine, there's not going to be any want, there's going to be just blessings everywhere. And he said this in Deuteronomy 33, Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help. And who is the sword of thine excellency, and thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. And he said in another place, I'm going to make you the head and not the tail. And we see the glory of King Solomon's reign. And the Queen of Sheba came there, and she said to Solomon, she said that the half hasn't been told. She saw a couple of things, but she saw Solomon going up to the temple to worship, procession that all involved, and she saw what his servant's demeanor was, and her testimony was this, Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. She was impressed with his wealth, but she was also impressed with his worship and the wisdom that God had given him. And so it's easy for me to fall into that trap of thinking that happiness is in things. Let's don't get into that. That's in our but in sincerity, let's believe by faith that happiness is in the spiritual kingdom. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. We're not just doing it for the loaves and the fishes, sometimes we say. That takes a love for God, and it takes a vision. Another verse says that where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now, the number six is submitting to the place that God has given us in life, being content. You can turn to Psalm 127 and 128. Not all of the walks in life are pictured here. There's a picture of happiness here that I want to show you. Psalm 127, 128. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. And the Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. And thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. There's contentment here. There's submission to the place that God has called this, the psalmist, the writer here, in his life. He's submitting to God's order. God's order of headship. If you want to experience happiness, you have to submit to that. I have to submit to that. I have to submit to the family that God allowed me to be born in, the country he allowed me to be born in, the community, all of those things. I guess Absalom is an example of someone that did not, he was not content with his place. And he said, if I would be the king, I could solve your problems. Remember, that's what he told the people that were coming to David to have their issues and their problems settled and judged. He would meet them and he would say, how are you, and what is your complaint, and so on. And he would say, if I was king, why would I just take care of it? That's easy for me to do. To think, well, if I just was some other situation, if I was the manager, things would be different. But that's not a content. That's not submitting to where God has placed us. Well, we need to look at the last one here, and that is submitting to God's correction. Psalm 94, verse 12 says, "Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law." Job 5:17, "Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty." How can this be that there's happiness in chastening, in correction? You can turn to Hebrews 12. Let's start reading at verse 5, Hebrews 12, verse 5. "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Did you hear that? Did you read that? It's because of God's love. And we can experience happiness when we accept that, when we submit to God's chastening. Verse 7. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father's spirits and live? For they, that's talking about our parents, they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for a profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. See, God wants us to be like him. He wants us to become like him more and more, to be perfect. Jesus said in Matthew 5, said, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." And the Hebrew writer says here that we might be partakers of his holiness. That's why God gives us correction. That's why he chasteneth us. Verse 11, "Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous." No, it's not going to be fun, but grievous. "Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." See, God has many things to teach us. And he's given us the Holy Spirit. Two verses here to sum up this point. From John, Gospel of John. This verse in Psalm 94, verse 12 says that, "Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him." Teachest. God gave us the Holy Spirit to be our teacher. And he has the heart of a teacher. Jesus said in John 14, verse 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." The gentle teaching of the Holy Ghost. Have you received some of that teaching this week or today? Sometimes I think maybe I have so much gone, all these emails and texts and all this commotion, that I just don't have time to think and hear the Holy Ghost, hear his teaching. That's another subject. But John 16, verse 13, another verse about the Holy Ghost as a teacher. Jesus said, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. I hope this morning that you are experiencing happiness and that you don't just need to imagine it. But if you are imagining happiness, you can experience it by following what the Bible tells us. Oh, how happy are they who their Savior obey and have laid up their treasures above. Oh, what tongue can express the sweet comfort and peace of a soul in its earliest love. 'Twas a heaven below my Redeemer to know, and the angels could do nothing more than to fall at his feet, and the story repeat, and the lover of sinners adore. Jesus all the day long was my joy and my song. Oh, that more his salvation might see. He hath loved me, I cried. He hath suffered and died to redeem such a rebel as me. Now my remnant of days would I spend in his praise, who has died me from death to redeem. Whether many or few, all my days are his due. May they all be devoted to him. Words of Charles Wesley. Let's kneel together in prayer.